My name is Alexandros Doukopoulos. The title of my presentation, Characterization of New Populations in Sandhemp and Relationship of Their Traits to Yield. First, a few words about the Sandhemp plant. Its Latin name is Crotalaria juncea, and it belongs to the Fabaceae family. It is a summer, tropical, annual legume. It is an erect, shrubby plant whose height ranges from 1 to 5 meters. Its place of origin is the Indo-Pakistan Peninsula subcontinent, where it is widely grown as a green manure crop. Its culture has been spread all over the globe, with two of the other major growers being Brazil and South Africa. When it was grown here in the States, and more specifically in southwestern Alabama, plants that were grown for 9 to 12 weeks were found to produce roughly 6 tons of dry matter per hectare and 126 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. In a different study, where sandhemp was grown with corn, was found to produce annually 7.6 tons of biomass per hectare, as well as 58 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare over a 3-year period. So you can see from that it is a fast-growing plant that can produce high biomass. It can be used in erosion control to prevent the loss of organic matter from the soil. It can also be used in forage production. Moreover, some other uses of sandhemp are in order to reduce the root knot nematode numbers in the soil, because the plant is a bad host. It can also be used as a high quality fiber source and as a means of weed suppression, which can mean a reduction in the usage of herbicides, which can also translate in the reduction of water pollution. However, it becomes apparent that because of its tropical origin, the plant, when grown in temperate environments, has a late maturation and no seed production. This is because the plants are photoperiod sensitive. So it becomes apparent that we need plants that flower earlier and are able to produce seed. So our objectives were tailored with that in mind. In order to facilitate a breeding program, we wanted to determine which plant traits are correlated with mature plant performance. And additionally, we wanted to record any significant changes that happened over several cycles of recurrent selection among different populations. For that, we used a randomized complete block design with 8 populations with 40 randomly chosen plants each. Now, these populations were Tropic Sun or Czech or Control. It is the only cultivar available and it's of tropical origin. Then population 12, that was our original population, and from P12, cycle 1, cycle 2, cycle 3, selection PBU07, a selection uniform plants were derived. Selection P2 has a different background than the rest of the populations. It was selected from a different original population. We had 2 locations, one in Sorter and one in Dallas, Alabama. We planted at the standard seeding rate of 4.5 kilograms per hectare in rows that were spaced 1 meter apart, and there were 5 replications per location. Here is a list of traits that we've measured. At the seedling stage, we had plant height at 2 and 4 weeks after planting, and rate of stem growth measured as difference in plant height divided by number of dates between measurements. At the flowering stage, we measured leaf width and length, stem diameter at the base of the plant and below, stem diameter below the first flower, number of branches, height at flowering, inflorescence length, and at the harvesting stage, we had plant height as well as biomass and seed yield. And what I'm going to present to you today is the least significant t-tests and the Pearson correlation coefficients. All of them are at the significance level of alpha 0.05, and we used the statistical packet SAS. First, I'm going to give you a list of traits that correlate, that have a fairly good correlation with dry biomass. These are days to first flower, leaf width, inflorescence length, and height to first flower. From top to bottom, the top trait has a better correlation to dry biomass than the remaining ones. And here's a list for seed production and how different traits correlate with it. Again, the traits are diameter of stem base, leaf width, branch number, and days to first flower. So this is a useful list for breeders that narrows down the number of traits that they need to select for in order to manipulate seed and biomass production. So now that you found a list of traits, we wanted to see how they affect different populations, the populations that you've tested. And I'm going to give you some graphs that are indicative of these trends that are forming. First, the colorful bars on the top of the graph represent groups of populations that are not significantly different, and alpha 0.05. And this shows that early traits were largely unaffected by breeding cycles. So you can see that you have a selection P2 at the very left and Tropic Sun at the very right. Height at 2 weeks is indicative of how seedling traits are not a very good indication in order to differentiate among populations. But things become much more clear when plants start to flower. You can see that populations are starting to form distinct groups. And perhaps the first thing that you notice is that Tropic Sun, our control, takes almost twice as longer for it to flower, which means that it reaches twice the size of the remaining populations, which translates into limited flowering and no seed production, which excludes it from the remaining of our slides. And furthermore, we can see that our original population, P12, forms a separate population, a separate group all by itself, with the remaining populations forming two additional groups. So high to first flower is positively correlated with number of days to flowering. Things are becoming even clearer after the first flower. Here is a graph of the inflorescence length, or the height gain of the plant after the first flower, after it reaches flowering stage. And you can see that older selections form separate groups, whereas the more recent breeding cycles have lower growth after flowering. They gain less height than the oldest selections. This translates to harvesting in significantly decreased seed production with subsequent selection cycles. Older and recent selection cycles from separate groups, you can see that our original population, P12, is placed on the furthest left of our graph, with our three most recent selections, cycle 3, selection uniform plants, selection BBU07, forming a different group, which is significantly different than our original population. So to recap, there is a significant decrease in seed production. And also, because biomass production and seed production are positively correlated, there was a significant decrease in seed production here. The differences are more pronounced, with older selections producing more biomass than their more recent ones. Now, the question that some of you may have is, what is the trade-off for a reduced biomass and seed yield? And the answer is that this is the price to pay for a seed that is of increased quality, and it's in general of a better quality than seed that you get from older selections. And the reason for that is that because it's a negative correlation between days to harvest and seed qualities. And the reason for that is that stink bugs cause major damages to seed production of late flowering plants. So in conclusion, to recap what I've said, seedling traits do not differentiate populations very well, and it becomes more clear that recent selection cycles gain less height after flowering than all the selection cycles, which translates into lower biomass and seed production, but higher seed quality. Our control Tropic Sun, because of its tropical origin, is late flowering, late maturing, does not produce any seed in the continental US. And furthermore, correlating traits from plants' early life cycle can be used as a biomass and seed yield predictors in future breeding tests. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I will be happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Yes,
Dr. West. How drought sensitive is this plant during summer?
It is not very drought sensitive. In fact, it is drought tolerant. In 2007, we had a significant drought down in the southeast in Alabama, and it was pretty much the only green thing left standing in our breeding plots.
Your selection indicated that seed yield, that the possibility of seed yield with selection. Is there your intention to perhaps select for seed production in the U.S.?
We aim to find the middle ground between seed production and high quality seed. So we aim to produce seed, like you've said, but seed that is of good quality, not moldy, seed that can be used in next season. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Any other questions? Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.